Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart, and Fred Williams is not here. He's under the weather. And so this is what we decided we do. We just kick back, have a relaxed science news and background program, because there's a lot to talk about. Niagara Falls, you may have heard the news that they plan to turn off the water on the American side of the falls, and they're going to do that in order to do some bridge work. So that, of course, brings us to think about all the water that flows over the falls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, day in and day out, year in and year out, decades, centuries, millennia. How fast would that erode, and how long would it take that gorge to erode? And so we've grabbed an article about that topic, and an early uniformitarian geologist, Charles Lyell, who came to America. He had one of his main publications published here in America, and he wrote about Niagara Falls. So we thought we'd look at that. And then also, big news out, there is a brand new creation DVD on astronomy by our dear friend of Real Science Radio, Spike Pisaris. I've got it right here. In fact, we've just put it on our store, so you could go to realscienceradio.com and click on the store, or rsr.org, click on the store, and you'll find Spike Pisaris's What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy, Volume 3, Our Created Universe. This is really thrilling. On Spike's website, which is creationastronomy.com, a few years back, we gave an endorsement for his volume one, which was Our Created Solar System. Just a tremendous video. And on his website, he has reviews for volume one. And here is the review sent in by Bob Enyart, host of Bob Enyart Live and Real Science Radio. You can see why we call this the best astronomy DVD ever made. It's a stunning video. There's great animation. Spike has a dry humor you'll just love. So that was volume one. Our input for volume two, it turns out that Spike also put that on his website. Only this is from Bob Enyart and Fred Williams, host of Real Science Radio. And it's for volume two, Our Created Stars and Galaxies. And it says this: Spike, you've done it again. We're stunned. We didn't think you could match the powerful message in your first video, but Our Created Stars and Galaxies is not only just as powerful, but this new DVD has even higher production value and is even more visually beautiful. May God bring Christians and atheists by the many thousands to enjoy this message from science and scripture. Congratulations, Bob and Fred, Real Science Radio. We may have shared this on the program last summer, but Spike and I, we had both been in attendance at a creation conference in Dallas, along with 100 others, many scientists, engineers, and so on. And there was a friend of the Duck Dynasty guys at the conference. And I believe he's on the program every once in a great while, but he and Spike became friends. And so Phil Robertson and Willie and the guys, they invited Spike to their home and gathered together for Spike to give a presentation on creation evolution. And when it was over, Phil Robertson said, "All right, Spike, come here. Let's take a photo. I'll hold up your DVD cover, and hopefully that'll help you sell another 10,000 copies." And I think it just might. So, in fact, Spike and I and the Duck Dynasty guy, I won't give his name on the air, we shared a few meals together, just had a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship. Now, I have not yet gotten to see this. This is my copy that I just took out of our inventory. Now, is the IRS going to complain about that? If you're the business owner and you take an item out of inventory, is that acceptable? It's got to be. Anyway, if not, I just confessed. So I took this copy of Spike's Volume 3, Our Created Universe, out of our inventory, just ripped off the cellophane, and I can't wait to see this And undoubtedly, it's going to be tremendous. And you could get all three volumes from our store. Just go to rsr.org. That's the shortcut, right? Real Science Radio, rsr.org. Click on the store, browse the science department. And as you purchase these materials, you help Fred Williams and I stay on the air, bringing week in and week out an encouraging program, educational program, a program that has reached thousands, including many who have come to trust Jesus Christ, our Creator and Savior, and thanks to your support and that of so many others. So we don't have a large foundation behind us. We don't have a small foundation behind us. We have a foundation under us, and that's the Lord. And in fact, the Rakia too. Firmament, the crust of the earth. But when you purchase these science materials from us, or if you subscribe to one video a month that you'll get in the mail automatically, or if you download our global flood video, any of our resources, subscribe to our verse-by-verse Bible studies, these help us stay on the air. So thank you so very much for everyone who does. And if you haven't enjoyed Spike's presentations, you will absolutely love them. So please consider purchasing this from Real Science Radio, or at least get it somewhere. You really will enjoy it. Okay, other news. Now, I know there's more science news to talk about, but we also have coming up a Bob and Yurt Live Founders Club dinner. So Real Science Radio airs in the time slot of Bob and Yurt Live on Fridays. So BEL, Bob and Yurt Live, Monday through Friday, in Denver on a 50,000-watt station, that's the most powerful radio station in Colorado, one of the 10 most powerful stations in the whole country, and it covers much of the population, probably 75% of the population of this state, and reaches into Wyoming and Nebraska, Kansas, five neighboring states. Very encouraging to have this platform. Well, and of course, then the internet through youngearth.com and 360dayyear.com and RSR, Real Science Radio, and our primary website, kgov.com. To support all that, we have a Founders Club, and the 25th anniversary of the Bob and Yurt Live radio outreach is coming up in May. May 2016 will have been on the air for 25 years, Lord willing, if he tarries. So we have a Founders Club dinner coming up at Denver's best steakhouse, Shanahan Steakhouse. That'll be awesome. And that's on a Friday night, Friday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. at Shanahan's. And then Saturday, for those who want to be involved but can't afford the steak dinner, it's a fundraiser to help us stay on the air, who knows, maybe the next 25 years. So that's expensive. That's $1,000 a plate dinner. So that is very expensive, but the revenue is needed, dearly needed, to continue. But the picnic, for those who want to be involved, that's free, I think. Maybe you bring a carry-in dinner, but the picnic on Saturday, June 4th, at Denver Bible Church, a beautiful property in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. And then Sunday morning, we have Bible study and worship at Denver Bible Church. So what a great weekend it will be. If you could be a part of that, boy, it would be just absolutely wonderful, of course. All right. So that's the Founders Club dinner and picnic and Bible study and worship coming up this June, the first weekend in June, beginning Friday night, June 3rd. And then we did a show with David Coppedge of Creation Evolution Headlines, formerly the ground system administrator for the Cassini space mission, NASA's Saturn space mission. And David now writes just the most tremendous articles about the latest in creation evolution news. And he and I talked about the allegedly 2-million-year-old hominid species, Homo habilis, and they found bones from this species. And they say, you know, they're in distress because they appear to be just 14,000 years old. So that should go on our list of not so old things, I would say, right? The species supposed to have lived 2 million years ago, but here are these bones dated to just 14,000 years ago. And so also Raymond Damadian. Look forward to an upcoming Real Science Radio interview with Raymond Damadian. He is the controversial inventor of the MRI, but he is a creationist. And so how could the Nobel Prize be given to a creationist? I mean, that would be so terrible from the perspective of the secular culture. So he was overlooked, and the Nobel Prize was given to two others. And over the years, now and then I've gone to Wikipedia and the history of the invention of the MRI. So they say they give the credit to other guys. And in the history section, okay, that shouldn't be very political, right? That should just be the history, the chronology of what's happened. And I noticed that the chronology is out of chronological order. So the guys who did the stuff, why can't it be listed chronologically? So I would go in there, as I've edited probably 100 different Wikipedia articles, and I have a pretty good reputation on Wikipedia, get invited to vote on things like who are going to be the editorial board and things like that. And so I'd rearrange it just slightly so that the chronological list of the events leading to the invention of the MRI would be in chronological order. I mean, is that too much to ask for? And you know, of course, that the atheist, Wikipedia is run by homosexuals and abortionists and socialists and atheists. It's a very intolerant venue. And even though there are thousands of scientists who believe that God created us, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of those who are educated with MDs and PhDs and scholars and so on, none of that is permitted on Wikipedia. But you would think that the chronology of the invention of the MRI could at least be put in chronological order. But no, if you put it in chronological order, then Raymond Damadian would be at the top of the list. And that's just not acceptable because he believes in God. So he's in the list, but he can't appear first because it's all politically correct. Expect to hear Raymond Damadian on an upcoming program here at Real Science Radio. That'll be just so great. What an honor to have him on. And then finally, we are at long last getting close to finishing the production of our latest science video here at Real Science Radio, our list of evidence against the Big Bang, which is so very popular. And we have now put together, much like we did our video on the global flood, we now have our video on the evidence against the Big Bang. It is a tour de force against belief in the Big Bang. Today, a Sunday school teacher from a successful Denver area church who tries to present information about Genesis and creation to his class, and he gets a lot of flack from it, from the elders of the church and so on. He asked if I could join him and a very successful Denver businessman and have lunch today to talk about the age of the earth, the age of the universe. The businessman believes in God, but just doesn't know about, you know, how old is the earth really? Isn't the evidence that the earth is billions of years old and so on? So we had a tremendous conversation, talked about the Big Bang, and that NASA says the evidence that confirms the theory is its predictions. The predictions of the Big Bang have been confirmed by observations, so therefore we have confidence in this understanding of the origin of the universe. So he said, well, that's a reasonable claim to make. That's reasonable. If that's true, that's good reason to trust in the Big Bang. So I asked him, as I've asked so many people, could you take out your phone and Google Big Bang predictions, those three words? And lo and behold, and this is so fun, and people from around the world have told us they've tried it on their phones or their computers. You Google Big Bang predictions, and Google says, there are about 1 million relevant pages, And the number one page, beating the Smithsonian, beating the Discovery Channel, beating whoever you want to name, the number one site is our article from Real Science Radio right here on our website, on our list of Big Bang predictions. I mean, that is quite an accomplishment for a Bible pastor, talk show host, and a fundamentalist Christian. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment. And I could tell you how you could help us get the word out about this upcoming video. If you link to, search for, link, post on Facebook, however you can get the word out, send an email to friends, evidence against the Big Bang. If you Google that term, evidence against the Big Bang, now we're not number one on that. We were number one on that term for years, actually. And we've just slipped a little bit. But if you link to it, you help out, undoubtedly we'll be back at number one. And so when this video comes out, hundreds, perhaps thousands of people will get to see the evidence against the Big Bang. Because you know the battle we're in, the culture war, America's in a moral free fall, the abortionists and those who are destroying marriage and family, they're in the ascendancy. But what they don't realize is that we're tunneling under them. We're tunneling under the abortion clinic. We're tunneling under the centers of godlessness and secularism with the powerful growth of the young earth creation movement, the biblical creation movement. The advances are tremendous. And so you can help by posting to our Evidence Against the Big Bang article. And if you Google Evidence Against the Big Bang, you'll find the article that I wrote at our website, kgov.com. If you click on that, and then just share that, put it on your Facebook page, in a comment to an article about astronomy, just help us get the word out. That'd be tremendous. Now to some background. So that's some science news. Low-key show here today, Real Science Radio. Praying that Fred Williams recovers. He's under the weather. I have an email here from a leading creationist, very influential. And he wrote to us about our article on historical science. Fred Williams and I did a program a year ago about Ken Ham and the creation movement generally, claiming that historical science is not really a full branch of science, that observational science is real science. And we disagree with that. Our article is titled Historical and Observational Science Equally Good. And so we got this letter, and I'll share it with Fred when I see him, but he hasn't written this to be a public document, so I'm not comfortable sharing his name. But hello, Bob, regarding your Real Science Radio article, Historical and Observational Science Equally Good, I think I agree. That's progress, because the whole creation movement has said otherwise. He talks about forensics, and this is basically a forensic science question, because historical science is, can you use scientific techniques to determine things that happened in the past? That's forensic science. And of course, yes, you can. And the creation movement, to the extent that it has denied this, which it has, it's been wrong. Well, our creationist friend sends along with this a quote from C.S. Lewis. And he says, you'll enjoy this. It's somewhat relevant. And so I'll share it with you. So C.S. Lewis, an author I just dearly love, I've read most of what he's written, he writes this: the physical sciences, then, depend on the validity of logic just as much as metaphysics or mathematics. So the physical sciences depend on the validity of logic, okay? If popular thought feels science to be different from all other kinds of knowledge, because science is experimentally verifiable, popular thought is mistaken. Experimental verification is not a new kind of assurance coming in to supply the deficiencies of mere logic. We should therefore abandon the distinction between scientific and non-scientific thought. The proper distinction is between logical and non-logical thought. And I just love that. And so perhaps we should add that quote to our article. A short way to get to our article is rsr.org/forensics. You'll get right to it. It will take you probably 15 minutes to read, 20 minutes. It's substantive, but boy, does it tackle the issue head on. And there's something called the demarcation problem. What is science? What is science? And the creation movement, historically, going back to Henry Morris and Duane Gish, people who we just dearly love and respect here at Bob Inert Live and who are with the Lord now, they took that position because it was easy to claim with the statement that something scientific is observable and repeatable. And in a way, they were trying to do an end run around paleontology, and an end run around geology, and an end run around cosmology, because if you can't see it and repeat it, do experiments and repeat them, then it's not science. So therefore, they only had to sort of narrow their focus. And they still took on those issues, but they took them on claiming they won anyway, because none of that was really science anyway. It was historical science, which was the stepchild of science. So our article, I think, is, Lord willing, if it's valid, it could be a game changer, and creationists will reevaluate all of that. Okay, so we'll consider adding that C.S. Lewis quote. I'll talk to Fred Williams about that. So now, some of the background. We mentioned the news about Niagara Falls. And in Creation Magazine recently, there's an article by Russell Grigg, G-R-I-G-G, about Charles Lyell. He's known as the father of uniformitarianism, that in geology, it is only the forces that work today that can explain what's happened in the past. The present is the key to the past. And actually, that's true. The present is the key to the past. And it's a good thing because we don't have direct access to the past. Everything we have, including eyewitness testimony that has been preserved for us, we evaluate in the present. We look at it today. You might have some eyewitness testimony that's not valid. You determine that by the evidence that survives to this day. And so at any rate, Charles Lyell used that view to try to undermine trust in the scriptures. Now, he studied law, and in 1825, he was appointed a barrister. That's a lawyer. And many people don't realize this. I think actually there's only 4 or 5 people in the world who realize this. But the whole geological opposition to the biblical chronology was all from lawyers. It was all lawyers. The Royal Geological Society was established and manned by lawyers. They were lawyers. And what motivated them was their opposition to the monarchy. Believe it or not, these were lawyers in England who were opposed to the monarchy, and they thought that if they could undermine the Bible, they would undermine the divine right of kings, and so they could bring about, usher in, a completely different and a secular worldview. And so it was really the attorneys that you could blame. I mean, Jesus didn't say very nice things about the lawyers. On Bob in Your Life, we don't say very nice things about lawyers. But Charles Lyell, he was one of them. And so he devoted himself to geology after he abandoned the legal profession. He was a deist. A deist believes that, yes, there was a creator God, but the creation itself has no influence, ongoing influence, from the creator. Almost as though the creation is shielded from the creator by the nature of things. And there's an opposite error of that, by the way. It goes back to Plato, and it's been incorporated in a lot of Christian theology. And it's that there is a creator, but the creator is shielded from the creation, so that nothing or no one in the creation can affect the creator. It's very interesting. It's a symmetrical error because God created us to fellowship with us and to enjoy us. And he grieves when we sin, and he is overjoyed when we trust in him and love him. And so those two errors, the one deism, that the creator has no influence on the creation, and the other is an extreme form of immutability in which the creation has no influence on the creator, has none and can have no influence. They're both errors based on invalid philosophical concepts. So Charles Lyell was a deist, and this article in Creation Magazine, Fred Williams and I, this is our favorite creation publication. It says about Charles Lyell that, well, they want to set up a rebuttal of his uniformitarianism, that the present is the key to the past. And so they write this, Russell Grigg writes this, what is needed to establish past events is eyewitness testimony. Turns out that's false. That is absolutely not true. If that were true, we should stop all murder prosecutions right now. Stop them all. Well, at least most of them, right? Because typically, murderers don't commit their crime in front of an audience. Typically. So, it's not true that what is needed to establish past events is eyewitness testimony. And if you wonder about that, go to our website, go to rsr.org/forensics, and I think you will see a powerful argument against this claim that actually surfaces almost everywhere you turn in the creation literature. And it's not true. It's not true. But Russell goes on now to my favorite part of the article, and it's about Niagara Falls. I got to go with my family to the falls when I was young, grew up in New Jersey, and I remember hearing about the people who went over the falls, some by accident, many on purpose. They would put themselves in tire tubes and put themselves in barrels, and a number of them, most of them would die. And one guy falls in by accident and survives, and all the amazing stories. And the two brothers down at the bottom of the falls, who their job for decades was to get out on a boat whenever somebody went over, and many people would jump off the falls to commit suicide, tragically. Just like the Golden Gate Bridge, George Washington Bridge, and people do these things because their despair. And they're not trusting in God. So these brothers had the contract for decades when there's a corpse floating there in the gorge to go collect it. And one day, not too long ago, the one brother had to go and collect his brother's corpse. Very tragic. What a sad story. But I remember, and you go down in a tunnel, they dug tunnels so that you come out under the falls, where the falls, you could reach your hand out, and the falls going over your head, literally that water is hitting your hand with tremendous force. So you're directly under the falls. It's really cool. You wonder when you go there about erosion rates. I don't know about you, but I wonder about erosion rates. I mean, we took a Bible tour to Turkey for 3 weeks, had the honor of leading a Bob and Your Live tour of Turkey, and we were in Cappadocia. That's how they say it. We say Cappadocia. And the terrain is just startling. It's like you're on another planet, in another world. And the rock is so soft, and the erosion rates are so rapid. And you could see it with your own eyes, that here's a history of thousands of years of erosion, and that's it, not millions. And you could make that case in environments all around the world, including the erosion of the world's major river systems and so on. Charles Lyell visited Niagara Falls about a century or so before I did, in the 1800s, and he found that the first European settler there had observed the retreat of the falls, and that it was about 1 yard a year during the 40 years that he had lived there, about 1 yard a year. And think about the history of the earth and after the global flood, the amount of water that was eroding canyon systems and all was much greater than it is today. Today, our aquifers are beginning to run dry and so on. But at that rate, the erosion of the entire gorge would have taken less than 10,000 years at that rate. That was way too short for Charles Lyell, right? He didn't like that because of his anti-biblical worldview. So in the 9th edition of his famous book, Principles of Geology, the 9th edition, which was published here in America, he wrote concerning this rate of recession, quote, "The average of 1 foot a year would be a much more probable conjecture. In that case, it would have required 35,000 years for the retreat of the falls." Now, if the continents have been here for tens of millions of years, what good is 35,000 years going to do him? Not much good, but it accomplishes a lot if your goal is to discredit the Bible. If your goal is to discredit the Bible, 35,000 years does it. So that's their knee-jerk reaction. When they look at opals, and the textbooks said an opal forms between tens of thousands up to 100,000 years. That serves to falsify the Bible, except that now the textbooks have been rewritten because opals form in a few weeks up to 3 months by bacteria working on sand on a few beaches in Australia. That's how quickly opals form. So why did they say it takes up to 100,000 years when they had no evidence at all? And the opals that they harvest, so to speak, off of these beaches in Australia, the beaches never give up. They just keep producing opals. It's because of the bacteria that lives there on the shore. And now they know how opals form because they scoop up the sand in peanut butter and jelly jars and they keep them in their sheds, the people who live there. And a couple few months later, they have opals. The whole opal market is in disarray. So at any rate, Charles Lyell settled on 35,000 years. Gross hypocrisy, right? Because according to Lyell, his big commitment is uniformitarianism. The present is the key to the past. So if you have an eyewitness of how quickly the erosion is happening, then to claim, oh, it had to be way slower in the past. It just had to be. That shows the hypocrisy. Growing up in New Jersey, we'd also go across the Hudson River, over the George Washington Bridge into New York City. And what a great time I had as a kid going to New York's, the American Museum of Natural History and the dinosaur right there in the main lobby, and just loved it. And Stephen Jay Gould, I remember reading his writings as a kid, and he was the curator there. I think he was a professor up at Harvard. He wrote about Charles Lyell's work, and he's a famous world-renowned evolutionist. And he said, Lyell was not the white knight of truth and fieldwork. The irony of history is that Lyell's position won. His version became a semi-official hagiography. What's a hagiography? The holy writing of geology, preached in textbooks to the present day. Professional historians know better, of course, but their message has rarely reached working geologists. So this professor of geology himself, Stephen Jay Gould, wrote, Lyell's great treatise is not, as so often stated, a textbook summarizing all prevailing knowledge in a systematic way. He said it's a passionate brief for uniformitarianism. And he says, you know, he thinks it's a good argument, but it's mostly rhetoric. And it certainly isn't based on a systematic analysis of fieldwork. Thank you, Russell Grigg, for a great article. And we are out of time. So if I could remind you about Spike Passaris's volume 3 in his series, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. This is Our Created Universe. Please consider going to rsr.org right now. You could go to our website, Or you could call us 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Order just this volume 3, or if you don't have the others, volumes 1, 2, and 3. You'll help us stay on the air and consider searching for Evidence Against the Big Bang, clicking on our article by Bob Enyart. It's on our website, kgov.com, and the Founders Club dinner. Wow, what a great time we're going to have. The Founders Club dinner, June 3rd. That's a Friday night, June 3rd in Denver at Shanahan Steakhouse. It is $1,000 a plate, which is a tremendous amount of money, but it's designed to help Real Science Radio and Bob Enyart Live reach out for the next year, the next decade, the next quarter of a century. And the following day is our picnic on Saturday, June 4th at Denver Bible Church, and then worship Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church worship and our verse-by-verse Bible study. The fellowship should be tremendous. We hope to see you for one, two, or all three events. In fact, until the next episode of Real Science Radio, this is Bob Enyart for Fred Williams and the crew. May God bless you. Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.